Hello from the BBC. I'm Audrey Tinlin with a roundup of the latest developments in the war in Ukraine. Fighting continues, particularly in the east and south. The besieged southern port city of Mariupol remains a key focus of attention. Further attempts are being made to evacuate civilians from the steelworks in that city. Our correspondent Joe Inwood is looking ahead to Monday. He says that could mark a significant milestone in this war as Russia marks the 77th anniversary of victory in World War II.
Victory Day, this, remember, is the day that they celebrate the victory of the Soviets over Nazi Germany, is a significant public holiday. It's become far more so, a more nationalistic holiday under the regime of President Putin. I think people think it wouldn't be surprising were they to try and turn this as a thing to celebrate on that day. Maybe that's why, despite having previously said they didn't want to storm the plant, President Putin is evidently given the order now to attack again. Of course, this is speculation. There's only one man that really knows what is going on in the mind of Vladimir Putin, and he hasn't told me personally. So I think it's quite possible, though. Dmitry Peskov, who's a Kremlin spokesperson, has apparently said that they're not going to be holding a Victory Day celebration in Mariupol, but then they also have said recently they weren't trying to storm the plant, and we've got pictures clearly showing that they are.
While the Russian conflict is heavily concentrated in the east and south of the country, elsewhere where the Russians have retreated, whole towns are having to be completely rebuilt. Around 500 miles northwest from Mariupol and very close to the capital Kyiv is the small town of Makariv, a place that earlier found itself right at the heart of the battle for access to the capital. The BBC's James Waterhouse has been there.
Posters of the missing are dotted around the town. However, this spring sunshine is bringing signs of healing. Workers and scaffolding surround some buildings, and if you're after some fish, coffee, or even socks, this week has seen Makariv's popular market return.
Ну як, важко, конечно, але ж живемо, бачите.
It's difficult, of course, but we keep on living. Our house is destroyed, not completely, so we have a place to stay, but it's damaged. We'll see how it goes. It's hard now, but we carry on.
I reported on towns like Makariv for weeks. We knew this was where some of the heaviest fighting was happening, and being here for the first time has really made me think of the unimaginable horrors which happened here. The road to recovery is going to be long and difficult, but just by looking at this market, for example, it's a path that people are determined to make.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's finance minister says a full ban on Russian energy is very important and needs to happen right now. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs has more.
The European Union is hugely dependent on Russian oil and gas, to the tune of around $1 billion a day. That money is playing a big part in funding Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. And that's why Ukraine's finance minister, Sergei Marchenko, wants the purchases to stop.
It's very important and so necessary to do it right now because huge oil and gas price help Russia to receive additional amount to make their budget run with surplus.
Europe's politicians are trying to balance their desire to support Ukraine with the needs of their energy-hungry citizens and businesses. About 40% of gas imports and 27% of oil imports come from Russia. But that is changing, with the EU's top diplomat saying an agreement on a full embargo is almost there.
But on the subject of banning the import of Russian oil, there's continuing disagreements amongst European Union members. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orbán says a complete ban would be like dropping an atom bomb on the Hungarian economy. He said that if it pressed ahead with a full ban, the EU risked breaking its united front against Moscow. For his part, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, repeated that sanctions would not work.
No punishment, no sanctions can break the will of our people, the will of our leadership, who are determined to defend the historical truth and Russia's legitimate interests and stop direct threats to our security, culture and history from being created right along our borders, which is what has been going on for years.
Sergei Lavrov, and those are the latest developments on day 72 of Russia's invasion. I'm Audrey Tinlin at the BBC.